You will get a link every week to this recording. So
okay.
If you need to hear anything. I sent you some questions this morning. I should have sent them to you a couple of days ago. I'm going to ask you these questions. If you don't know the exact number or close to it, just email it to me. But let me get these. You finished 2015 at 9 what?
I think it was 954.
All right. And do you know where you're annualized this year?
Exactly where I was last year.
Okay. And then what do you remember roughly what you did in 13?
This will take me just a second to pull it up. Okay.
You still with me?
Yeah, I'm I thought I had it very quickly.
I'll send you an email. Just look at the email that I sent you early this morning and
okay.
Respond to that. What do you got in assets?
It's 82 million.
All right. Number of households? You want to get back to me on that?
Yeah, I'm going to have to get back to you on that. I know where find it, but this morning I'm under pressure, I guess.
I'm putting you under pressure.
Yeah.
What's your minimum right now for new business?
250.
250. How do you feel about that minimum? I'm asking that without prejudice. How do you feel about that minimum?
Right at the moment, I feel good about it.
All right.
But I can see that it's going to have to go higher, but at the moment, I feel comfortable with it.
Okay, are you sticking to that minimum?
Yes.
Okay, it's better to have a lower minimum and live with it and not be fudging it than to say it's 5 and violating it all the time. It does not send a consistent message. All right.
No, every account I've opened this year has been greater than 250.
All right. And then if what are your top two priorities for this second round of Supernova?
I guess the top priority is to get to the what we call the growth or the expansion. I can't remember the phrase. The growth part of it, and learning how to deal more with CPAs.
Okay. So the word you're looking for is acquisition, right?
Yeah, the acquisition. That's the word I was looking for. When we finished up last time, we really didn't have a chance to get into the acquisition part of it, which I was very interested in, but it was good. I mean, we got done what I needed to have done, but now that's my top priority is learning more about the acquisition part.
Okay. What's your production goal for 2015?
1.1 million.
Okay. All right. Let's talk a little bit about, I mean, you've grown your practice significantly. I think when you and I talked last, you were doing in the sevens. Does that sound right?
I think closer to eight.
All right. Now, Has there been anything that has helped you grow the practice? Landing some big relationships, doing more fee-based business, bringing in what is it? Where has the growth come from?
In in my opinion, the growth has come from digging deeper with existing clients and getting more assets from them.
All right, and how have you done that?
Well, just implementing the Supernova, where we set up, I give them a folder, I have a folder, we set up a date and time, and I have been very consistent on, you know, making those monthly phone calls. And
good.
If I haven't been able to make them, I have rescheduled with them in enough advanced time. And then you know, just being prepared for the call, I've got four or five clients who every time I call, they say, Ken, I can set my watch by you. I mean, I know you're calling. So,
okay.
Yeah, in 2013, I did 827. In 2012, I did 760.
Okay. All right. Now, let's jump right into acquisition. The CPA thing we'll get to next month, but let's get a start on acquisition. When that client said, or those clients say, Kent, we can set our watch by you, is that recognition of value?
I believe it is.
I know it is. So if you remember, and some of these terms are going to hopefully sound familiar, do you remember when the best time is to start a referral conversation?
I believe at the beginning of a new relationship.
Nope. Well, I didn't ask you what I thought. I asked you what you thought. That's not a bad time, although there is a school of thought that if you start referral conversations, Ken, as you're opening a new relationship, could the new client think that you're focused more on your practice than the client? Is
sure.
that a possibility?
Absolutely.
So while you have in your gut, you know when it's the right time. If a person would just say, "Gosh, Kent, this whole process has been so wonderful. I can't believe I stayed at Merrill Lynch all those years." I mean, they're just gushing. Maybe that's the time to start a referral conversation. But we think the best time consistently to ask for a referral conversation is when value is given and value is recognized. You remember that term?
Yes, I do.
Okay, and that was the VIPSA script. Now, what I would
yes.
like for you to do is pull out a piece of notebook paper or typing paper, whatever, and write this down. Write the letter V.
Okay.
Underneath that, write the letter I.
Okay.
Under that, the letter P as in Paul.
Mm-hmm.
The letter S as in Sam, and
mm-hmm.
then the letter A as in Apple. So
okay.
we'll talk about the best time, in Supernova's opinion, to begin a referral conversation. When somebody gives you a compliment, most of the time, Kent, people aren't going to say, Kent, you add a lot of value. That's not the way people talk.
Correct.
They're going to say thank you. Or they're going to say, Kent, I can set my watch by you. Or something along those lines. Now,
mm-hmm.
we are in an industry. Let me tell you a survey. And I don't think this survey was around when you and I talked. And they asked 1,375 FAs. The top three reasons that FAs lost accounts. So the number one answer was failure to talk to their clients regularly. 72-73% of the FAs said that the reason that FAs lost accounts was failure to communicate on a consistent basis proactively. So on one hand, Kent, you have what helps FAs lose relationships. And on the other hand, you have the Supernova experience as the number one driver of client satisfaction is proactive FA contact. You're delivering those. How can anybody grade you down on contact if you're talking to them on a monthly basis? Agreed?
Yes.
So if that's what drives people away And what attracts people is proactive contact. Do you see how you have laid the groundwork here, the foundation, to grow a practice significantly?
Yes.
Here's the. I live on 92 acres. I love trees. I bet I've planted 150 trees since I've lived here. I know a lot about trees. I know a lot about fertilizer. You know the difference between organic fertilizer and just the regular old fertilizer?
No, I do not.
The regular old fertilizer just feeds the tree, and it gets a boost, and it's gone. Organic fertilizer treats the soil, and it just makes the soil better, and the tree is healthier. You get the difference?
Mm-hmm, sure.
So what you're doing is it sounds a little silly, but you've put organic fertilizer on your practice. You're not just treating an issue. You are changing the substance of the soil of your practice. I'm going to send you something after this is over, or a little later this afternoon, and it's a couple of questions I want you to ask about yourself about the practice. It's very simple. It'll take you 5 minutes. But I want to walk through this VIPSA script, and I want you to memorize it. Now, I don't want you to memorize it because you're a rookie and you're too dumb to know what to say. I want you to be in a position that when somebody recognizes your value, you know what to do. Now, the very best thing, Kent, is I think my thought process in your words. I talk a little differently from how you talk. You'd want to put this in your own terminology. But let's walk through this. When somebody says thank you, well, let's go back to the real life example. Kent, we can set our watches by you. Do you recognize that they are recognizing your value, right?
I do now.
You're an honest man. Here's the most important thing you have to do. When people compliment you, when they recognize value, don't deflect it. You know people, if you try to give them a compliment, they deflect it. Oh, that's just what we do, whatever.
Sure. Yeah, that's what I've been doing.
That's not fair to the client. This is Christmas. They've given you a present. What do polite people do when they're given a present? They say thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to get in the habit, when somebody recognizes value, that you recognize that you heard them. Kent, we can set our watches by you. Well, thanks for saying that, Ms. Jones. I work really hard to provide that level of service or to be that conscious of your time. Whatever Ms. Smith complimented you on, you thank her for noticing that. You get it?
Yes, I do.
Okay. If somebody says, gosh, you know, you're sitting down with somebody and you're having your quarterly review and they say, Kent, this is fabulous. Before I started working with you, it was all a maze. You've made it so simple. I sleep better at night. The first thing you do is confirm that you heard it. Psychologists call that validation. You validate what they just said. God, Mr. Jones, thank you so much for saying that. I work really hard to provide that peace of mind to my clients. You got it?
Yes.
This is simple. One of the nice things about Supernova for me is it's so stinking simple. So when somebody gives you a compliment, when somebody recognizes value, you make sure they know you heard it. Ms. Jones, thank you for saying that. We work really hard. I work really hard to provide that time.
Okay.
Then in a split second, you decide the appropriate time to have the conversation. Now, a lot of FAs guilt themselves, Kent, that they're not asking for a referral every time they see the client. Nobody does that. I've ever run across. And if you ask every time you saw the client, you probably start to feel like you're manipulating them a little bit. You got it? So you got to, and let me just, a really silly example. If your best client dies and you're at the wake and you and the wife are standing there, the surviving spouse, and she says, "Kent, Charlie sure loved dealing with you. He thought you were the absolute best. You gave him a lot of peace of mind." Well, you confirm that you heard it, but is that the appropriate time to start a referral conversation?
No.
No. So, number one, you recognize the fact that they've recognized your value. Secondly, you confirm that you heard it. And then the third is if you make the split decision whether it's the appropriate time. Got it?
Yes.
Makes a lot of sense. You're not beating up clients. You're not, give me three names of people that you, all that stuff that gives referrals bad names. And again, we're starting referral conversations. You say, what's the difference between that and asking for a referral? It's the context. It's the professionalism. So let's say that somebody, Mr. Jones, thanks you for the peace of mind and all the things you've done for him and kept him in the market when all the everything in his body told him to get out about four times last year, whatever. And you say, well, thank you for saying that. I work really hard to provide that type of guidance. And you do the split second. He said you do the split second thing, and you've decided it's time to start the referral conversation. And now we get to the I in VIPSA. I is asking in importance, making the client know it's important to you, asking confidently. You know, the old thing FA is, well, you know, I've never said ask you about this before, Mr. Jones, and I hope you don't take it the wrong way. And that, but, you know, no, that's tiring. Mr. Jones, thank you for saying that. Do you know anyone else who might appreciate that same type of guidance? You got it?
Mm-hmm.
You got it?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Now, see what you're doing here, Kent. You are tying that to what they've already recognized as value.
Right.
Not about give me three friends to help me out, whatever. No. Do you know anyone else who would appreciate that same type of guidance? And
okay.
Mr. Jones kind of looks at you and thinks, and well, Kent, I can't think of anybody. Now, Kent, hear my words. When Mr. Jones says he can't think of anybody, he can't think of anybody. It's not that he's put out that you ask. It's not that he doesn't like you now. It's just you're giving him a test, and he didn't have time to study.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's so then, Ken, I can't think of anybody. So now you come to the P, and the P stands for permission. Well, Mr. Jones, do you have a moment to brainstorm or to think about it, whatever your term is? Ken, I'd love to. What do you mean? Well, is it anybody you go to church with, anybody you play golf with, anybody you travel with, anybody, you know where your clients hang out. So you know how to ask that question. So he still hasn't prepared for the test. You've kind of planted the seed, and he says, Kent, forgive me, but I just can't think of anybody right now. Now, here you are. You're an FA. You've asked twice. You've gotten no's. In a professional way, you've gotten no's. So here's how you get out of that conversation without feeling like you've got your hand out or you've gotten your hand cut off, whatever. Mr. Jones, thanks for thinking about it. Just know I'm never too busy to help people like you. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Okay. Now, let's say, now I've gone down the no-no side. And the worst thing that happens here is you have planted a seed. May have shared with you the fellow I coached in Lexington, Kentucky. He was doing a million, Kent, and he had 38 clients, 38 to 36.
Mm-hmm.
He started a referral conversation with one of his clients, and she said, Harry, I didn't know you took referrals.
Wow.
Now, you and I want to wrap our head with duct tape because it's about to explode. But, you know, clients don't wake up in the morning thinking about those things.
Right.
So in this example, your client, you've gone through it, he's drawn a blank, and he's getting ready to play golf this afternoon, and his best buddy is lacing up his spikes and says, gosh, I hate the people at wherever, Edward D. Jones. They never return my calls, whatever. Do you think your client is going to be more likely to try to put you all together than had you not had that conversation? The answer is
mm-hmm.
yes, because
right.
you
yes.
planted the seed.
Right.
He didn't go to play golf thinking about how to get a referral for you, but he's now had this conversation. But let's go down the other side, and you'll be able to use this a lot. And you ask Mr. Jones, you know, is there anybody else who would appreciate that type of guidance? And he slaps himself in the middle of the head and says, I can't believe you asked me that question, Kent. My best friend is absolutely distraught with the lack of communication he's getting from Morgan Stanley. Now, here's the next phrase that FAs usually hear. I'm going to start the sentence, you finish it. I will have him
call you.
Call you. And you know how often that call comes?
Very seldom.
Very seldom. Congratulations. I'm at 100% with that question. It seldom comes. So here's how you prevent that and stay in control. Gosh, I would love to meet your best friend. If you were me, how would you go about getting in front of him?
Okay.
All right. Do you see how you maintain control of the conversation?
Mm-hmm.
Because that person knows how to get in front of his best friend a lot better than you'll figure out. Well, why
mm-hmm.
don't you come and have lunch with us before we play golf? Why don't we have lunch together at the country club? Why don't we, why don't we, why don't we? Whatever. Now, the client may say, well, Kent, you know, I'm just more comfortable giving him your name and having him call you. And you're not going to flog your client. You're going to
mm-hmm.
say, well, terrific. I'd love to hear from him. So that's not where you want to be, but that's where you were going to be anyway if you didn't ask the best way to get in front of his best friend. You got it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, that thing about keeping control of a conversation around, instead of saying they'll have them call you, you'll be able to use that in other situations, but I'll get to those things later. So
okay.
The best time, do you still have your Bill, remember the Bill Cates book, Get More Referrals Now?
Oh, I still have it, yes.
What I've gone over with you is chapter 11. Now, I'm going to walk across the room to get something out of my bookcase. Hold on. I also want you to look at page, you don't have to do it now, but on page 73, there are other ways to get those value conversations started.
Okay.
How do you demonstrate value to your clients? The first one here is when you teach your prospect or your client something, when they say, gosh, I never thought of that before, or whatever.
Mm.
This is a list of 10 ways to get those value conversations started. About four of them make me really, really uncomfortable, but there's some on there that are really good.
Okay.
So here's how many times, and this obviously there's no, you have no idea knowing the answer, but you got a gut feeling. How many times have clients recognized your value in the past 6 months?
I would say it's been numerous times.
I would say it is too. You're growing your practice, and when you answer this sheet I'm going to send out to you later this afternoon, it'll help drive that home. I mean, if you looked at your top 10 clients, I don't want you to do it, but what would you just guess is the median length that they've been with you, your top 10 clients?
10 or 15 years.
So what are they saying by being with you for 10 to 15 years? They like you. They trust you. I know in your market there are plenty of other firms and FAs they could go to, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they've chosen to what? Stay with you. They want to help you. They just never have been given the opportunity on a consistent basis.
Mm-hmm.
So here is the homework that for our next meeting. I would like for you to get this script down. Again, look in chapter 11, and I would like for you to practice it with somebody. Carlos, your wife, somebody in the office that you trust and like, and get really comfortable with it. And here's, you've been doing this for how long?
Supernova?
No.
Since 1985.
Golly. You remember when there were utility offerings in the office to take down a bunch on a new issue, and you just call and call and call?
Yep.
Remember those days?
Oh, yeah.
And here's what happened to you. The first time, you got your pitch down, you had the dividend rate and the growth of the dividend and all that stuff, and the first time you did it, it was a little bit choppy. The second time you did it, it got better. And by the time you had told that story on Delmarva Power or whatever the third time, it was really smooth. You'd heard the objections, and you just, I don't want to say you didn't go on autopilot, but you knew the story. It's going to be the same thing with this, Kent. If you will practice it, and here's what I would offer to you, is when you feel that you've got it kind of okay, call me and I'll play the other side. Or I'll play Kent and you can play the client. Whatever.
Okay.
But you're doing too many good things to not use clients as referral sources. They want to help you. So the script is chapter 11 in the book. Take a look at page 73. And then I want you to start being observant for people recognizing your value.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not comfortable with the script, just jot it down. That, Mr. Jones said this on May the 11th, and then you can circle back and say, Mr. Jones, I was just going over your folder. I was going over our relationship, whatever. And back on June the 11th or May the 11th, you said some really nice things about the guidance that I've given you over the last 5 years. As I told you then, I really appreciate that. Do you know anyone else who might appreciate that same type of guidance? So even if, when people recognize value, you're not as comfortable as you want to be with the script, write the note down so you can follow up next time that you talk with them. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yes.
This is really basic stuff. The best time to ask for a referral is when value is given and value is recognized. Most of the time, that comes in the form of a thank you. There are other ways. So I want you to be observant for value. Now, some people teach, and frankly, it's in some of the Supernova stuff, that every time you have a meeting with a client, you say, what did you value most in this appointment? I'm not really comfortable with that. It's, again,
okay,
it's
good. Yeah, that's been on my mind, and I have used it. And thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah. I would feel manipulated. So, I would much rather have a conversation when a client has recognized the value that you bring to that relationship.
Okay.
VIPSA value importance. That's asking confidently. P is you have permission. Do you have a few minutes to brainstorm? S's suggest, somebody you play golf with, tennis with, go to church with, whatever. And then A is advice. If they say, yes, I've got somebody like that, gosh, that's terrific. I'd love to talk to your brother-in-law. If you were me, how would you go about getting in front of him? Remember,
oh, okay.
You're not looking for names. I can get you names out of the phone book. You're looking for favorable introductions. When somebody introduces you, you start way up on the trust scale. You don't have to demonstrate trust because if somebody they trust has recommended you, they're already comfortable.
Right.
Got it?
Got it.
Okay, now, again, once you get comfortable with this, and I'm doing this for two reasons. I want to help you, and number two, I want to put some subtle pressure on you to get after it.
Okay.
And if you don't have it done really well, we'll work on it. So this is, guys, just think, Kent, if a third of your clients gave you a referral, what's your close rate when you get in front of qualified people? 70%?
Oh, probably 80, 85%.
So, and how many households do you think you have? Guess.
75, 80.
Okay, 70. Let's say 70% of 70. That's 49. I'd say, what's a third of? Let's make it really simple. I went to public school. Let's say you have 90 households. If a third of those people gave you a referral, that's 30 referrals. If your close rate's 70, that's 21 new relationships. And you're
almost
doing
two a month. Yeah.
Pardon?
Yeah, that would be almost two a month.
Yeah, not bad, right?
No, not bad at all.
And Supernova pays for itself very quickly.
Oh, it already has.
I know, you're kind to say that. I wasn't fishing for that compliment. Now, I have to drive very quickly to get somewhere. It's about a 20-minute drive, but I think I can get it done in about 15.
Okay.
All right?
Go for it.
Do you still have my cell number?
Yes, I do.
Let me just confirm it. 615-473-1701.
615-473-1701.
615-473-1701. Correct.
Got it.
I'm looking forward to hearing from you.
I'll call you.
Okay.
Thanks, Rob.
Thanks, Ken.
We'll see you. Bye-bye.